Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back, Triple Threat, Sports Radio 610. Sean Pendergast and Rich Lord and Clint Sterner with you on a Thursday. You can text the show, 713-572-4610. Couple texts here from our friend Ocho. Sean, one Texas high school football game Pat Mahomes has played in is the equivalent to three NFL playoff games. Texas high school football is the highest level in the world, so he'll be fine.
I promise he didn't ever play any Texas high school football in the weather he's been playing in up there in Kansas City.
How many Texas high school football playoff games did you play in?
Ooh, golly, it's been so long ago. Two?
Two?
Two, yeah. We were supposed to be really good. No, three. Three. We were supposed to be really good my senior year, and we messed the bed and lost to a team that ended up being pretty good.
But, yeah.
So only three.
Okay.
Three.
That's a big-time atmosphere, those playoff games.
Yeah, you know, the big, you know what's crazy? The biggest atmosphere that I think I ever remember playing in high school was a regular season game against North Shore.
Yeah.
Back then, we were really, Baytown Lee was really, really good. We were throwing the ball all over the park. And North Shore was, again, they're still really good. Obviously, just had an all-time classic winning the state championship this year on the Hail Mary.
Hail Mary, yeah.
But they were really good back then as well. And we met them. We were undefeated. They were undefeated. I believe we're both 8-0 late in the season. And at Stallworth Stadium in Baytown, it was just – the place was packed. I just remember it being the most intense moment of my high school career. We went on and played. I played David Boston when he was at Humble. We lost to them in the playoffs, and we lost to – you remember, what was the Galveston Ball one year?
Oh, yeah.
Kid ended up pitching for the Astros as a quarterback there.
Brandon Backey.
Yeah. In fact, I ran into him a couple years ago at our charity golf tournament that we do. But, yeah, he was a hell of a quarterback. Hell of a quarterback. And then quit to play baseball senior year, and I was like, what in the hell's wrong with this guy? He must be sick, and then he ends up pitching for the – next
pitching
time I saw
in the World
him,
Series.
Next time I saw him, he's pitching for the Astros. I was like, that's probably a pretty good decision there, my man.
Not bad.
But they beat us – or actually, we beat them my junior year. So mm-hmm. And those were big games, but, man, that Baytown Lee North Shore game was just – It was fun. This is what Texas high school football was all about back in the day.
Yeah. To be fair, Ocho, I don't know that that's the same as playing in Arrowhead Stadium in the AFC title game.
Yeah.
But to each their own, you know, it's an opinion, I suppose. And here's one more from Ocho, and this will lead us into what we teased into this segment. What's up, Sean? Can we talk about how stupid the people like Mike Meltzer are going to look once the greatness of Jalen Hurts is unleashed by Lincoln Riley? I haven't heard what Meltzer said about this, but it sounds like if I'm to read this text that he has an opinion where we need to slow our roll on what Jalen Hurts is going to do for Oklahoma. I think it's a fair take to have that Jalen Hurts is – look, it's actually a fairly obvious take when you think about it. Hey, I don't think – and I'm not saying Mike said this, but the chances are Jalen Hurts is not going to do as well as Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield did in Lincoln Riley's offense.
Pretty high bar.
Because they both won the Heisman.
So pretty high bar.
There's only one way to go but down.
In a side note, did you see Kyler Murray killing someone on Twitter who credited Lincoln Riley with somebody?
Oh, did he call him a system quarterback or something?
Someone who's actually pretty credible. I can't recall who it was, but somebody in the media tweeted that Kyler Murray wasn't even close to a skilled thrower until Lincoln Riley got him. Kyler Murray went 43-0 at Allen High School and won three state championships.
Yeah, but was he a skilled thrower, Rich?
I believe he was a pretty good thrower. Kyler Murray tweeted, sick. Now, which sounds like a compliment, but I don't think he was too happy with the guy's
I suppose you could construe that either
commentary.
Way.
Yeah. I think Jalen Hurts is going to get better. I think Jalen Hurts was already better as a thrower when we saw him in the SEC championship game than maybe we'd seen previously. I think he's already improved.
Oh, there's no question he's improved. I mean, I know Dan Enos personally, who was the offensive coordinator at Arkansas for 2 years. I know him personally, worked camps with him, spent a lot of time with him. He is the best quarterback developer that I've ever been around.
Man, for those who don't know, he was the quarterback's coach at Alabama last year.
He ended up being
the
quarterback's coach at Alabama last year when he got fired at Arkansas. He got picked, which Saban does. He cherry picks and does a hell of a job with it. Well, Enos was that guy. And that had a lot to do with Jalen's his decision to stay at Alabama was if he left, he didn't know where he would end up, what kind of quarterback developer would be there, what kind of system would it would have been a rush decision. So, you know, he just sits back and goes, hey, I can stay at Alabama, may get to play if he gets hurt, which he ended up upping his stock. This was crazy the other day. Is you sit back and look at the last 6 months about with Jalen Hurts' experience. I mean, he somehow comes out on the backside of this thing better off physically and perceptionally. I mean, it's just unbelievable for a young kid like that to make decisions and to land on his feet on the backside of it.
30 minutes of football did wonders for his stock. 30 minutes of football.
The kid he spent 3+ months with the best quarterback developer that I know.
Yep.
He gets an opportunity in the biggest game outside of the national championship game, which is the SEC championship game. He proves that not only is he still a Jalen Hurts, which just wins football games, and he can beat you with his feet, but he's made huge strides in his ability to technically throw the football.
Can spin it.
And do more in the pass game. And then on the flip side of it, he ends up at Oklahoma, where it's a quarterback factory. I don't care any way you slice it. That's good. It's a good place to play the quarterback position, regardless of how you slice it. And there's a high percentage chance that he's going to get an opportunity at Alabama in the college football playoffs, assuming Alabama gets back.
You're saying get an opportunity to go against Alabama?
To go against Alabama.
Okay, well, he's done that in practice for the last 3 or 4 years.
That's right.
So that should be that should be at least some familiarity for him there. John Harris was on with us yesterday, Clint, and he brought up maybe a concern that the one thing Jalen Hurts is not going to have at Oklahoma that Baker Mayfield and that Kyler Murray did have is a seasoned, experienced NFL future littered offensive line, along with some skill guys that are not going to be there next year. Do you have any concerns in terms of the personnel that are going to be around Hurts, or is it one of those things where, hey, Oklahoma recruits, Lincoln Riley's a great offensive coach, it's the Big 12? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, I think offensively, I think they are right along the lines of Alabama relative to recruiting and kind of just reloading instead of having to find. But I will say this, Sean, I believe that the smart thing to do with Hurts is to change the offense a bit. Now, obviously you don't change your philosophy and your scheme and what you believe in, day out, but there's going to have to be some tweaks in the play call, because there's no doubt about it that Baker Mayfield grew up in the air raid. Kyler Murray, I know his high school coach, I wouldn't call it air raid, but they were pass happy. They threw it around. And look, there's no secret that I think the best way to use Jalen Hurts is more in a pro style quarterback plus run game. And for him to pose the threat of running the football from the offensive standpoint is got to be in the game plan. And so I think that Lincoln Riley's going to have to tweak his game just a little bit. I think that Jalen Hurts is obviously, you know, we're going to see that if he has indeed come a long way in the past game, we're going to see that as well. And to watch those two mesh, I think could be a beautiful thing. I mean, Lincoln Riley's going to have to meet those two guys. Hurts and Riley are going to meet each other in the middle. You're not going to go into this thing and play a Baker Mayfield style of Oklahoma offense or a Kyler Murray style of Oklahoma offense. I think you'd be wrong to do that. And then Jalen Hurts is also not going to be the old school Alabama where they run heavy and chew the clock up. I think these two meet in the middle, and you've got an improved product at Oklahoma, at least relative to competing with the big dogs on the big stage.
Going to be fun to watch.
Great move for him, I think.
Yeah,
he made the best choice he could have made.
Yeah, would you have recommended Oklahoma to him of all the schools? Because reportedly he's looking at Maryland, Miami,
TCU.
There were a few others on the list, Oklahoma being one of them. Of all those, would you have recommended Oklahoma?
I would have recommended Oklahoma just again because they're ready made. I mean, the Miami trip would have been enticing to me if I were him because of Dan Enos. You go get another year under your belt with the best developer, and look, that reputation is known throughout the league as far as Dan Enos goes. I mean, his quarterbacks have jumped into the league, and none of them made huge splashes, but they're all guys see them and go, they're technically sound.
Sure.
So they know when they get a Dan Enos guy, mechanics is not a problem. Understanding footwork is not a problem. Pre-snap processing and post-snap processing is not a problem. So I couldn't have been mad had he decided to go to Miami, but I don't think Miami's a place where a guy that's got 1 year wants to go right now. You've got to go somewhere where it's ready-made and it's a plug and play.
Miami and Maryland are both breaking in new coaches, right? New head coaches. So, I mean, that's also a factor in terms of, look, you want to be there for a year, make your most potential maximum impact in that 1 year. OU's just ready-made. Yeah. Way more ready-made than Miami and Maryland.
The one different thing, Rich, that we got to keep in mind is that Baker and Kyler both had a year to sit and learn the offense. Where Jalen's going in there, and Jay's got to learn the offense between now and August. Yeah, yeah, and they're going to fire hose him with it. Now, he's got plenty of time to do it. In today's game, these kids are carrying around iPads, and so when they go on vacation, they don't go on vacation. Yeah. They're everything's at their fingertips. And Jay is a – look, I mean, I don't know that I've ever been around a man or human, period. I don't care what age you're talking about, that has the ability to separate his emotions from what he's going through and the decisions he's making. And so this dude is beyond mature, relative to other college quarterbacks. And so I don't foresee learning the offense being an issue for him. But I do believe it's different than a kid going in there and just kind of relaxing, getting used to Norman, watching another guy that's playing at a high level play the position and learn the offense. It's going to be a different approach, I think, from the day he walks in and then how Lincoln Riley marries the quarterback's ability to his scheme and philosophy. It's going to be really, really fun to watch unfold in a time in the Big 12.
Yeah.
I know we're not jumping into this, but it's a different college topic. I think there's an opportunity in the SEC and there's an opportunity in the Big 12 for some of these teams to really take a stronghold on the conference that the opportunity doesn't come around very often.
What do you mean?
Well, like for instance, like in the Big 12, you had Baylor jumped up there and was screaming, TCU jumped up there and was screaming, and Texas had fallen off. Well, now TCU's a little bit slower. You know what's happened to Baylor. That number two spot, West Virginia, Holgorsen's leaving.
Yeah.
That number two spot in the Big 12 is up for the taking, and Texas is climbing at the right time. With the quarterback situation at OU, I mean, if it works out, great. If not, then that's there for the taking.
Mm-hmm.
It's just there's an opportunity in the Big 12 where you don't have four or five teams that are playing at a high level right this minute. And so there's some spots, some reshuffling that could take place. And I just think that Alabama, look, I'm reading stuff this week with the OC, the quarterback coach, the DC now reportedly going to the Cleveland Browns. I mean, these guys, it's like somebody kicked a fire ant bed, and these guys are running away. And you've got a lot of guys that you've got to replace. At some point in time, Sean, you don't just reload. I mean, you lost six DBs last year. You're going to lose your best from this year.
Yeah.
You're going to lose your best defensive lineman from this year. You're losing arguably your best running back from this year. Irv Smith, I think, makes that offense go. I got to believe he's leaving.
He's on every draft board.
It wouldn't surprise me if he's not the first tight end taken.
Yep.
I mean, he is a utility guy and can do it all. He's going to be a killer in the NFL.
Pretty good bloodline.
He's just a killer. And so, what bloodline is he?
His dad, Irv Smith, played in the NFL for years.
And he was
Patriots.
Saints. Saints. He played in Notre Dame. He played with my brother in Notre Dame. Yeah, early 90s.
I'll be dang. Yep. I didn't know that. That speaks volumes. But that kid is the real deal. I mean, but he's a hybrid guy that can do so many
things. His dad was
a
traditional big, like, size tight end. Yeah,
he's going to be better than his dad.
Yeah, well, he'll be a more explosive player for sure. Right. His dad wasn't the pass catcher that the kid is. The kid is a great pass catcher and catch after run guy.
He was a big,
catch
big
after,
part.
Yards after catch.
Yards after catch, yes. He was hard to tackle. He was very elusive. He was a big part of this offense's success. I know we talk about Tua a lot. We talk about Jerry Jeudy, the best receiver in the game right now. I get it, but that guy underneath that can put his hand in the dirt, that can motion, in the line of scrimmage, he can be a fullback, he can stand up in a two-point stance. That guy was a big, big part of this offense, and he's going to be gone. I think the style, we talked about it last week, Sean, or 2 weeks ago, Sean, where I think the style of play that Alabama's playing offensively makes him vulnerable, to all the things we talked about, pressures, offensive line breakdowns, the weather, the refs letting guys, DBs play physical, all that stuff, those are issues offensively that Alabama's never had to worry about.
Yep.
And now they have to worry about those things. I just think that gap between Bama at one point it was getting bigger and bigger and bigger at a crazy rate. I think they're jumping back down closer to the pack, and there's an opportunity for some teams to grab a hold of that SEC West and get up there in the same at least in the same conversations with Alabama.
Variety would be nice.
It would be.
It would be nice to have some new blood in there.
That's why I want the Chiefs on Sunday.
Yeah, you're not alone.
Hey, I'm going a 40-40 Super Bowl, man. I'm rooting for the 40-year-olds, man.
I am, too. I want Breeze and Brady. We've never seen Breeze and Brady in a Super Bowl before. The other half of this Jalen Hurts story is something we talked about yesterday, Rich, and that's the Austin Kendall half of it. Austin Kendall or Kendall Austin. I think we flip-flopped his name a few times.
It's Kendall
Can't
Austin,
trust these guys with two first names.
No, it's Austin Kendall.
It is Austin Kendall. Yeah, Austin Kendall. Planning to transfer to West Virginia. OU initially blocking his transfer to West Virginia. And I don't know what made them change their mind, but hopefully the injection of sanity when they got their own transfer from Alabama, they looked at it and said, okay, well, we should probably live by the golden rule.
They had the right to deny him that opportunity because there's a Big 12 rule that if you want to transfer to a school in conference, OU can block them. Interestingly enough, that rule does not exist in the SEC. They used to have it, but then they eliminated it and allowed the kids a little more freedom. But yeah, they came up with a waiver yesterday and decided, I'm guessing because there was a lot of heat. I mean, they're getting a lot of negative pub for blocking him.
It's a bad look, too,
it
for
is
the
a bad
school.
Look. Yes, it
you
is.
Know, if you're, I think
down
one,
the road, it's a bad look.
Yeah, that's what I mean, Rich. When you say the SEC has that rule, immediately to me, if I'm a high school recruit that's looking at a school in the Big 12 versus a school in the SEC, well, the check, one of the check marks for the school in the SEC is if, hey, what if I do want to transfer? What if this school isn't for me? Now, at least I have the freedom to go wherever I want, as opposed to if I go here. And especially if I'm from the footprint that's in the Big 12, which is where all potentially those could be other schools that I would like and was recruited by and may have relationships at, they're going to block me from going to those schools.
And the difference for this kid is he's now going to get 2 years at West Virginia.
Yeah.
If Oklahoma had blocked him, the thought was he was still going to transfer there and sit out a year.
Yeah.
Now he gets 2 years to play under, is it Neil Brown, who's the new coach?
Neil Brown is a new coach at West Virginia. Yeah. The guy from Troy. Yeah.
So good for him. I think that's the opportunity he deserves.
Yeah. I'm for anything that's pro player. I'm anything that gives the players as much freedom as these coaches have to move from their $5 million jobs to their $6 million jobs.
Right, that's what I said yesterday. You can't hold these kids to a standard you're not adhering to yourself.
Yeah.
These guys can jump ship anytime they want. If a coach had to sit out a year before he could coach at a new school, I'm guessing we'd see a lot less movement.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. It's funny, yesterday when all that...
And didn't get paid for that year.
Right.
When all that came out, Rich, about Lincoln Riley blocking the backup, or I guess the quarterback from Oklahoma, the same day they announced that this long-term Michigan assistant, Greg Madison, had been hired by Ohio State. So everybody's talking about, wait a minute. Now here's a coach leaving Michigan, long-term coach from Michigan, going to Ohio State, flip-flopping not only in conference but rivals, and you're telling me a quarterback that's never touched I guess he played a little bit as a backup role, but a quarterback that hadn't done much can't transfer wherever he wants to?
Amen.
I just thought it was funny that those two stories, I think, popped in the same week, and it's just one of those where you look at the two and you just go, how in the hell is this possible? Like, common sense tells you that this ain't going to work. This is not right.
Yeah, and I guess we're getting around to that point. You know, whatever it would take for common sense to set in something in the real world, you have to multiply it times 10 years for college sports, right?
Sure.
Or even common sense in other sports who have been living, say, the NFL under a playoff system since time immemorial. The playoff system in college, which felt like a good idea in like 1978, finally had to go through like 10 different machinations, the Coalition, the Bowl Alliance, the BCS, and then finally we get a 14 playoff about 30 years after everybody thought it was a good idea. So players will have full free movement within college football about the time all of our great grandkids are thinking about playing college football.
Michelle, where do you draw that line, though, you personally? Is it just a free-for-all? You can go wherever you want? Because, I mean, the concern there, I'm guessing, is that teams, essentially, if a team loses 30 players in a season because you can just transfer anywhere you want to, then that team's no longer going to be able to field a team to play a season.
Yeah, the sitting out a year thing, I don't have as big a problem with because of that reason. For competitive reasons, unless there is something that triggers the transfer. If a kid's just leaving...
Well, that's where they've got some waivers in place.
Yeah, right. So, for example, if the kid's coach leaves, I think then a kid should be free to leave without
100%.
Any encumbrances.
Yeah. If he graduates,
he should be free, which they're allowed to do now.
Right.
I think there should be hardship cases as well. Like if you got a sick relative and the kid wants to transfer to be back closer to an immediate relative that is dealing with some sort of illness. And I think they do waivers for that now, too, I think.
No,
I'm not totally
sure.
Yeah,
definitely. So it's all scrutinized, obviously.
Yeah.
But there is a waiver where you can.
But I don't think the free-for-all is a good idea, what you're talking about, just letting everybody jump ship anytime they want. I like the I guess it's incentive in a way that having to sit out a year provides.
Yeah, unless there's a trigger event that fits under those lists that we just talked about. And I think the big one is the coaches leaving me, because that's a direct affront to my sensibilities of not allowing players to move, is that they can get recruited by a coach. They can get recruited by a coach and sign their letter of intent, and their coach could leave before this kid even sets foot on campus, and they're bound by that letter of intent.
And you know, Coach Clint, a lot of these coaches become father figures. You know, they talk about the family they're creating within their program, and then they become deadbeat dads overnight and desert their family.
That's a bad thing. That approach takes a real turn when they leave the kid, right?
Exactly.
All right.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.